Welcome, welcome. It is time now for the Green Country Gardener Program. Our telephone number is 1-800-749-5936. I'm Tom Davis, and our expert is Larry Glass. How you doing, Larry? You know something? Your brother's getting better and better at that banjo.
You bet.
We got to get him to play that oompa music that we play during October on the banjo.
That would be interesting.
That would be.
A tuba and a banjo combo.
There you go. You might be starting something here.
So, think about that.
Yeah. There you go.
And some brass, and a little brass section at the same time. That'd be fun.
My triangle solo, ding, ding.
Anyway, golly, what's with the weather? You look at it, there's frost in lower elevations. We have some frost. You see a little bit on the grass over there still.
Yeah.
And that is just in time, just the right time for that to happen. So,
I don't think this was a killer, was it?
No, not my elephant ears are still up and running, okay, but it's not wasn't really a killing process. It's just kind
just
of
like a hi, how are you? I'll be back.
It was a warning.
A warning.
The earth is doing its little tilt thing.
There you go.
And the days are getting noticeably shorter and all that. Mm-hmm. But because of that, it's one of the best times for landscaping. And we are so busy, we are backed up with so many landscape jobs to do.
Woo.
So,
that's a good problem to have.
You bet. And then, well, it can be if you can get somebody to do the work, to help you do the work.
Oh, wow.
When you're having to come up with the stuff and then repair your greenhouses and then go out and dig holes at the same time, it's kind of hard to do. But
yeah, you anyway, didn't sleep this week, did you?
what's that? What's anyway, that? Planting trees and shrubs and bulbs is a good time for that right now. And don't forget the birds for the winter coming up.
The birds!
Yeah, be prepared for that, poor little old birds.
Mm-hmm.
We just scatter bird seed on the patio. They seem to like it better just on the ground, really, than in a feeder, per se. So, we got a caller already?
I think so. And
all right.
Good morning. Hi, you're on with the Green Country Gardener.
Well, I'm not sure it's a gardening topic, but I'm calling from the Salvation Army Women's Auxiliary Garage Sale. It started at 8 o'clock.
Yep.
And we'll go to half price at noon, and it'll just get a bigger bargain as the day goes on, and we close at 5.
All righty. We'll put that on our consumer calls here in a little bit, but I thank you very much for that update. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll have some shovels and stuff.
You might.
Yeah, I've broken more shovels.
Yeah, it's this good old soft dirt we have around
Oh,
here.
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't really happen until the rain went away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And before the rain hit, jeez. Mm-hmm. Anyway, great time for planting trees, shrubs, bulbs and things, and don't forget the birds. Still a good time to plant pansies. The ground is warm. The roots will take over real well.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to go ahead and get those in the ground if you want to. I plan on doing some of that in my house.
Uh-huh.
Sometime.
Sometime, yeah. Do you remember what your house looks like, Larry? I mean, it's been a while.
Well, I see it on Sunday. But anyway, one last go around with the mower, and it gets drained and put to sleep for the winter.
Yeah, so I watched Susie mow the yard the other day. Woman wears me out.
My wife watches me mow the yard on the ring.
Oh, yeah.
The doorbell. It sends her alerts, you know, as I go by.
You know, Susie really loves it when I get out the front door. And I said, you missed a spot over there. She loves that. It just tickles her to death.
Oh, a funny mowing story, though, when I was younger, my daughter was younger, she said, I'm going to try mowing the grass. I said, okay, sure, give it a shot. Well, she's mowing it, and she said, what do you think, Dad? I said, your lines are not straight. What do you mean? I said, no, when you mow the grass, you got to have straight lines.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have, you're not straight. Well, if you're going to be that picky, I just won't mow again. Okay, well, fine. I'll do it anyway. Let's try to give it a try. No, Dad, if you're going to be that picky, you can just mow the grass. Okay, fine. Well, she grew up. She's got a house of her own. And guess what?
She's got the straightest lines on the
block. She's got the straightest lines. She said, Dad, you were right. I said, it looks so much nicer with straight. That's so funny.
A life lesson learned.
All I could do is just smile.
I've done my job. I'm done.
So, anyway, so it's kind of the last go around. And you want to make sure your mow is ready for the winter. And you do that by, if you don't plan on mowing it, using it at all.
Uh-huh.
You want to course, run it till the gas runs out of the carburetor. And a lot of the carburetors have a little drain on the bottom. You can continue to get the rest of it out. And then pull out the spark plug, put some a little bit of oil in it, and pull the rope. Mm-hmm. Be careful not to touch the wire.
Nope, don't do that.
That's all you need is 10,000 volts to give you a good thing. But anyway, and that would get it ready for the winter. And put the spark plug back in, of course. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure not to put too much oil in it. Just a little squirt. And then move it up and down with the, I mean, pull the rope so that it's distributed amongst the cylinder. If you put too much oil in it, and you leave it in there, you'll get the hydrolocking on your... And it'll
You don't need that.
No, so it doesn't take very much. What that does is help prevent the corrosion of the rings. The cylinders primarily are made of aluminum, and the piston rings are kind of a hardened steel, and it will rust. So that's one reason why you want to do that. Mm-hmm. So get it ready for the winter that way, and then put the spark plug back in so you don't get little animals burrowing. They're picking up resin inside the cylinder. So get it ready for the winter. Water levels right now are okay deep down. I know that from firsthand experience. It got really dry there for a while, and we've had some rain. Mm-hmm. And it's soaked into the ground pretty well. So really, at least shovel depth, there's plenty of moisture. Mm-hmm. So that's good going into the fall and winter. The plants are going to appreciate that going into fall and winter. Because even though they're somewhat dormant or not kind of slowing down a little bit, they still need some water in there to keep the water levels up. And that's the primary reason why people lose things in the wintertime, especially if it's dry before a cold spell. We don't have any rain or snow or anything. And the moisture levels are down in the yard is because they lose their plants because they're really dry. Now, one time, years ago, we had a really, really cold spell. It was like 5 below 0 or something. Mm-hmm. It was a zinger deluxe. Mm-hmm. And it happened around Christmas Eve, actually. I got a phone call from somebody with a sprinkler system we did and said, well, my water's leaking everywhere. What can you do? I said, I'll come out and look at it. Well, the water meter had actually split in half.
Oh, my.
So I brought my water key and shut it off. I said, well, the authorities will get you a new water meter when the time comes. They're busy with other things, so I won't worry about your sprinkler system right now.
About January 3rd.
So anyway. So, yeah, the thing is you want to make sure your plants have adequate water going into the winter. And I think this coming week we have precipitation coming up. Pretty good chance, it looks like.
Yep.
So that's going to help things even more. And how cold is it going to get anyway?
Well, tonight we're going to get down to about 42. Looks like we got some 39s in the forecast for our overnight lows. Yeah.
Okay.
So our highs are going to be like around Wednesday or so. Tuesday, about Wednesday, we're looking at 46 for a high.
Whoa, Nelly Bell.
48 on Thursday, and we'll warm up to a balmy 53 on Friday.
That's the average.
We do have normal. 32. We're going to hit the freezing mark on Thursday night, it looks like.
But right now, your little temperature thing outside says what?
34.
Well, there was frost on the old pickup this morning.
I imagine.
So down in the holler, it's a little cooler. And typically your lower altitudes like that will be a little cooler than your higher altitudes. It's just the way things work. But so anyway, the point is make sure your plants, if there is a really, really cold spell coming on, make sure there's adequate moisture in the ground. And you can do that by, say, adding some mulch. You can help it out rather by adding some mulch to prevent water loss. But anyway, back to the story when it got really, really cold. Mm-hmm. There was in several instances, there was rows of boxwoods, I noticed. And it was cold enough to damage the boxwoods that year. That was really, really cold.
Mm.
Yeah. And the ones that were by the downspouts or where there was adequate moisture, unaffected. But the ones that were in arid soil just died out.
Yeah.
So.
Got to get it taken care of before winter.
Yeah, so watch look at the forecast, and if there is rain coming, just get the hose out there and just water the hound out of your plants, and they'll make it just fine.
Yeah, give them a drink before they go to bed.
but it is a good time for landscaping. Your landscapers here in town, I know we included, we'll put in plants that will survive the winter. So it's not a problem with most of the shrubs and things we sell and we put on the ground. You shouldn't have any issues.
You don't want them coming back.
No. So you what you do when you do a plant selection, mm-hmm. first of all, you pick it up to solve the problems of the landscape as far as appearance, architecture, and maintenance and all this other business, height of plants and all that. And then you make sure that they are suitable for your zone. Mm-hmm. We're zone, 6.5 or so here. I like to go with zone 6 mm-hmm. on the plant hardiness zone. Mm-hmm. And then they should make it. But if you pick out a plant that's a zone 7.
You're rolling the dice.
Yeah, exactly. That's the word, rolling the dice. So so with that in mind, it's a good time for landscaping. The plants will establish, the roots will establish in the warmer soil at this point. They'll do just fine. Mm-hmm. So we got, like I said, we got a lot of jobs online. And we're just got to get to it.
Yeah.
And that's a function of the available personnel and weather.
All right. Good. So we're going to take a quick break here. It is right now 8:20. We'll be back after this two-minute timeout with the Green Country Gardener Program.
Hello, this is Tim from United Rentals. We've had a reputation of we're the big gorilla, we're the largest rental company in the world, and we are. What we're trying to do is we're trying to get out of the order-taking philosophy. We need to find out what people need. We need to show them we have what they need and then fix it up where they can come by and get it, or we can deliver it to them. Either way, 918-333-9580. We're up here on the southeast corner of Highway 60 and 75, 3801 Nowata Road. United Rentals.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is getting busy and getting ready for the holidays. You'll find new shipments of pansies and flowering kale. Get ready for the holidays with amaryllis bulbs and Christmas cactus that they have available. And check out their new shipments of trees and shrubs. Right now is a great time to sow fescue seed and apply pre-emergent for winter weeds. Come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
Everyone is talking about healthcare these days. America spends twice that of other developed countries on our healthcare system, yet our health ranks near the bottom. Primary care can help fix the problem. To learn more about the benefits of primary care, visit www.healthisprimary.org. This message is brought to you by America's Family Physicians.
Oompa-pa, 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 and once again, it is the Green Country Gardener Program right here on your favorite radio station. And we've got for you the phone line so you can get in touch with Larry, our expert today, 1-800-749-5936. And what do you got for us here?
Hey, Kelly, at the nursery, we've got pansies, kale, violas, and some fall color shrubs like burning bush and andinas. The obsession andinas put on a really nice show in the winter, too, as well as the dwarf andinas. Mm-hmm. I was at somebody's house this week, and I said, well, maybe some dwarf nandinas in front of your boxwood. Give you some red and green. I don't want any nandinas. Went to the backyard. They were like 5 feet tall. There were the berries on them. I said, no, the dwarf nandinas don't get that tall.
Mm. So that's the name.
The little bitty ones, yeah. And they don't have berries and everything else. And it was a tough sell, but I don't know. We'll find out. Anyway.
Funky dwarf nandinas.
Yeah, I know. I don't want nandinas. Well, they're all kinds of different. And nandinas are really, they're kind of a landscaper's dream because they require, they're growing drought. They're growing the wet pretty well.
They're pretty easy going.
They're easy going. They don't have any bugs. They don't get any diseases. And if you properly preened them and cut them back, they could be really attractive shrubs.
Uh-huh.
But people say, God, they're the ugliest things I ever had. Well, they really haven't looked at all the new ones. I mean, the nandinas, they're a member of the barberry family.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell they're a member of the barberry family by the color of the stem. Mm-hmm. It's just bright mustard yellow color stem underneath the bark. And that's a trait of the Barberries all the way across. They'll have that same characteristic yellow, bright yellow wood underneath the stem. So, and there are all kinds of shapes and sizes. There's the Moon Bay, the Gulf Stream, the Compact, the Dwarf, and the old standard Nandina. You can just get plain old Nandina domestica. I had some at my other house that were 8 feet tall.
Woo!
And they're really, they can be pretty good plants. If you use them properly in the landscape.
Are they good screening plants?
No.
They're not?
Okay. Nope. They're just good evergreen plants that for some winter appearance, really, they sort of can't be beat. But anyway, so there's all kinds of them out there. So don't close your mind on them because there are several varieties of Nandinas. Mm-hmm. And the one that's really good is the Obsession. When its newly emerging leaves are this maroon purple, wine red color.
Mm-hmm.
And that color stays on that leaf throughout the summer. So it puts on a bit of a show all year round. And they do have some berries on the Obsessions, but not very many. But and they don't get so tall. They only get knee-high at the most.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so don't rule them out altogether. But anyway, it is a good time for landscape. And soil preparation is very important also when you're landscaping. You get your pH right, to get your structure right, to get your depth right, to get your drainage correct. All these things have to...
Got to get it together. Yeah, got to do your homework.
Got to do a little bit of chemistry.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You mean you have to think?
Yeah.
You can't just dig a hole and throw it in the ground? No.
No.
These are the plants we use in the landscape. They're considered exotics.
Really?
Exotic is something that doesn't exist in your native area.
Unless transplanted.
Unless you transplant it. And most of your landscape plants are adaptable.
Which is cool.
What do we have here? What? In the wild.
Hackberry.
Hackberries and Johnson grass.
That's about it. You nailed it, Professor.
No winter appearance. Nothing going on. So we have to bring in plants that will tolerate our climate and insect populations and fungus diseases and periods of wetness, periods of drought. It's a...
The occasional zinger.
Exactly, zingers, exactly. So you've got to do things that will survive it. And soil preparation is one way to help the plants adapt to it. Our soil, naturally, can be pretty good. There's some parts of town where the soil is really, really good. Say, going into the north entrance to Colonial. You think Colonial say it's all rock. But right around there where it kind of dips down before the creek, golly, we've done sprinkler systems over there. And you plunge that that saw thing in the ground that digs up the dirt, you know. You don't hit anything. It just runs. I mean, you could put the thing on remote control and go to lunch. the soil was so deep and so black and nice.
Nice, yeah.
But you go two blocks away. We had jackhammers. Just
all the limestone.
And the limestone.
Golly.
So... the point is that the soil can vary here in town quite a bit.
Yeah.
And when you go to the customer's house and look at their house, you look at the trees around, look at the health of the grass and all that, it'll sort of tell you just by the color of the chlorophyll and whatnot, it'll kind of tell you what's going on with the soil or lack thereof. And then you can respond by putting in plants that'll tolerate those conditions and still give you some ornamental quality. So... make sure you know what you're doing. And I've seen so many people, I want to do all this landscape, the perennials and everything else. And I said, okay, fine. What's going to happen in the wintertime?
I don't know.
October, or no, November, December, January, February, and March. For 5 months out of the year, what's this landscape going to look like? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be something that you really want to see, or what? You need to have some multi-season interest going on over here. You have to think in the fourth dimension when you do these landscape plans. And there are plants like different varieties of Nandina that give you interest in the wintertime.
So, I don't want any Nandinas.
Okay, well, fine. Well, you use the Nandina, perhaps. Tell me about it. With Blue Star Juniper, for instance. That'll give you some red and some blue. And some green with some dwarf yopans and whatnot. So there's still opportunity for color in the winter. So anyway, with that in mind, we want to make sure during the wintertime we do monitor the moisture content just so it doesn't get so off. Winter is really one of our driest times of the year.
It is.
If you look at the precipitation charts, there's a big dip in December and January. It starts picking up again in February. Mm-hmm. But it's the driest and the coldest time of year, so we really have to take care of our plants. Because as I mentioned earlier, the landscape plants we use are exotics, and they're not well adapted for droughty, dry, cold weather. Mm-hmm. So we have to compensate by adding a little bit of water and maybe an extra layer of mulch in the winter to help them survive the winter. Okay?
All right. I believe we do have a caller, so let's go ahead. And hi, you're on with the Green Country Gardener. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question about soil preparation. Hmm. You know, maybe you get your bed, the drainage right, and the pH right, and all that good. Then do you have to, or how do you maintain that good soil?
How do you maintain
over time?
It? Well, first of all, you start with the materials that will last long enough to where the plants can adapt to any change in the soil. For instance, use a lot of, say, organic material, be it peat moss or compost or pine bark mulch or whatever, just to keep the soil loose long enough for the plants to dominate and take over and adapt to the changing soil conditions. So by default, we use a compost. And what I do is stick my hand in the ground and kind of feel the soil. And if it doesn't have any grittiness to it, if it just feels smooth, kind of like grease, if you will, you add some organic material, sure, but add a little bit of coarse sand to the soil also to help keep it open.
Now,
soil is made of clay, loam, sand, and silt. And loam being organic material, and silt. Well, most of our soil is basically silt and clay.
Yeah.
So we need to look at the structure of the existing soil and see what's going on with it so you can make the soil suitable for growing plants. Now, one way you can do it also is before you do your soil preparation is to take a sample of your soil and put it in like a quart mason jar and fill it halfway with that, then the rest of the half with water and shake it up real good and just let it settle. And what will happen is the heavier materials, the sand, and the clays will settle in the bottom, then your silt, and then your organic material. And it gives you an idea of what your soil is made of, really. Or another way is to do what we call the drop test. Right now, with the moisture content in the soil like it is now, you take a handful of soil and pack it into a softball size clump and drop it from your hip high. And if it drops and it shatters, well, you're probably in pretty good shape. But if it just lands on the ground like a big old wad of pizza dough, then it needs some help.
So do you check your soil out every time you plant? And could I prepare my bed this fall and plant next spring, or do I need to prepare my bed right before I plant?
Yeah, well, actually, if you prepare it ahead of time, you'll know what's going to happen as the soil more or less ages in there. You'll know what's going to happen with it if you prepare it now. And you can augment that in the spring before you plant to help to improve it even more.
So do the heavy work now.
So do the heavy work now.
And then do minor adjustments if needed.
Exactly.
Right before you plant?
A good farmer has his field already plowed up right now. And the freezing and thawing of the wintertime will really make a good seed bed if you're growing, you know, tomatoes or something. For ornamentals, you really don't plow the soil every year. You do it once and that's it.
Right.
So you want something that's going to give you enough time for the plants to adapt to the decomposing. As the organic material decomposes, it becomes finer and finer in texture. So you want it. You want your plants to be adapted to that.
So does that mean I add organic matter every year or every 6 months or?
Well, every year. If you're growing annuals and things, yeah, you want to do it every year. But if you're growing shrubs, you really don't want to disturb the roots around those shrubs. So you want to do it to help your plants get established. And as the soil, as the organic matter decomposes, the soil becomes less and less porous. You want your plants to adapt to that. So lots of organic stuff right now. But on your annuals and your vegetables and things, yeah, you can add it every year and it's not a problem. But you really can't plow up the soil around your shrubs because it will damage the roots.
Right. Okay, thank you.
All righty.
And we thank you very much for your...
Another important thing is the drainage, too.
Oh, yeah.
If the water just sits like in that area right there, you're going to have some problems with your plants.
All right, got to make sure you check that one out, too.
Exactly.
All righty. We'll be back with more of the Green Country Gardener program after this two-minute timeout.
Stop by Peter's True Value in Dewey today and pick up your bargain of the month, like Frost King 3-Pack Indoor Window Insulation Kit for $4.99. You can never have enough light bulbs on hand. Stock up with GE 4-Pack 5-Watt or 6-Watt 19 LED bulbs for $9.99 per 4-Pack. And keep your shop or garage clean with a 5-Gallon 3.5 Horsepower Shop Vac Brand Wet Dry Vac for $39.97. But only at Peter's True Value in Dewey.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
68 million Americans are putting their family's financial future at risk by not having enough life insurance. David Woods, president of the Life Foundation.
If something happens to the breadwinner, who's going to pay the mortgage? Who's going to send the kids to college? Who's going to buy the clothes, put food on the table? The consequences can be devastating if you don't have life insurance.
Life insurance costs are at their lowest point ever.
Life insurance isn't a luxury, it's a necessity.
A message from the nonprofit Life Foundation.
Paralyzed Veterans of America, National Service Officers.
We've got an entire generation of men and women who have seen war. They're going to need voices.
Paralyzed Veterans of America represents them.
Changing lives, building futures. That's Paralyzed Veterans of America. To learn more, visit pva.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
All righty, we are back here with our Oktoberfest version this month only here of the Green Country Gardener program. I'm Tom Davis. He's Larry Glass. He's the guy you really want to talk to. I just pick up the phone at 1-800-749-5936. Where are we on the agenda, sir?
Well, I don't know. Before we close the show, yeah. One of these bumpers, you ought to come up with something Halloween-y.
Oh, yeah.
There'd be something in there. I don't know. But anyway. Anyway, at the nursery, we mentioned pansies, kale. We were out of mums, really. We sold out of these mums. Mm-hmm. Golly, they're huge, and they just went flying out the door. They're really nice. We have a fall color shrub like the burning bush and an endiness. It's getting a little late for grass seed, though. So your grass seed should be up at this point. So anyway, you can apply sod at any time, and we, like anybody else, can get... have some delivered up, but golly, the freight's expensive anymore on that. Mm-hmm. So we almost have to get up a whole bunch of orders before we can bring some up to cover the cost. Freight costs more than the sod to bring it up anymore. Yeah. And anyway, we do have a fine collection of cactus and other tropicals, and the house plant that's becoming real popular are succulents. We have a great selection of those.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these exotic house plants too. So
not the one that says, feed me.
Yeah.
I've seen that character.
Yeah. The encore azaleas are blooming a little bit here, too. Mm-hmm. And the encore azaleas are a little different than the obtusum and the curuma azaleas, the ones we're used to, mm-hmm. in that the encore azaleas require more sunshine. Mm-hmm. And actually, the label on which the azaleas are come with mention in the show, full sun to part sun.
Mm-hmm.
So... they will not perform in a shady situation, really, these the recurring azaleas, the mm-hmm. Bloomathons and the whatnot, the encore azaleas. Mm-hmm. They need more sunshine than the regular azaleas. So, yeah. But they still have to be planted the same way as azaleas. Remember we talked about soil prep?
Mm-hmm.
Azaleas are what we call ericaceous plants. And that's a trait shared by blueberries, cranberries, and rhododendrons and azaleas. Ericaceous meaning they require acidic soil. And our soil here by nature is not acidic. It's somewhat alkaline. Mm-hmm. And that's a toxic mix for your azaleas. So you want to plant them in some peat moss. They do like that low pH. And if you do a bed big enough, they'll last about 15 years or so before they, like anything else, they just get too old to do what they're doing.
Like me.
So anyway, so you want to be sure to plant them in mm-hmm. a peat moss mix
yeah.
or anything that has a pH of about 5.5. They'll do just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of houses have foundations made of concrete. I would say a good portion of them here mm-hmm. in town do have concrete foundations on their house. Mm-hmm. And that the lime in the concrete, the calcium carbonate, tends to that leaches out of the cement tends to raise the soil pH, especially on newer houses. And also, if it's a brick house, we were working on a house this week, and we did an irrigation line along the footing of the house. Mm-hmm. The footing came out like that. And on top of that footing was all the spillage when they did the brickwork. And we had to get that out of there because we couldn't get the irrigation system in.
They don't work well together.
No, not deep enough to where it works. Yeah. So we had to dig all that stuff out. And actually, it's not that hard to do. It's just loosely associated, mm-hmm. poorly set mortar mix mm-hmm. down there. It just came out pretty easily.
Good.
But still, that's an example of what's underground. And when we do a lot of foundation plantings, we run into a lot of this leftover materials from the construction. And it does alter the soil pH and makes it difficult for some of your plants to really do well, such as your boxwoods, your holly plants especially, mm-hmm. can suffer a bit from that soil pH being too high.
Mm-hmm.
So we respond by, we've actually done soil transfusions mm-hmm. in the past, where it's so bad you have to take it out mm-hmm. and put new in.
Hey!
I mean, there's nothing there but old lumber and rebar and 2x4s and mm-hmm. Concrete. So you just have to remove it and bring in new stuff sometimes. So it's important to know what's going on underground before you plant your stuff.
Yes, it is.
And don't go to the nursery or anywhere else and just buy, oh, I need this plant, a whole bunch of plants without any planting on it. Because you don't know what's lying underground. So do your ground prep, do your homework, mm-hmm. and find out what kind of plants to do very well.
Spontaneity is a fun thing, but you got to not when you're doing this.
Exactly. We talked about lawns, and it's a bit late to put pre-emergent down for those winter weeds mm-hmm. and all that. The henbit's up. I've seen it growing all over the place.
So oh, yeah.
It's up.
It's
and the dandelions are starting to come up and other things. However, you can use a post-emergent broadleaf mm-hmm. weed control. I almost said insect control, but weed control, mm-hmm. broadleaf weed control mm-hmm. to smother or kill out those broadleaf weeds before they get turned into really big, nasty things. Mm-hmm. So now's the time to do that, too. So I need to, I've got some of them got away at my house. I didn't get them in time with the pre-emergent. And so I got to do a little spot spraying here and there
to
knock them out. But anyway, it's too late to fertilize your Bermuda grass. I wouldn't waste your money on a winterizer. It's like somebody taking your money.
If you're into that.
If you really want to spend like $15 unnecessarily, yeah, get a winterizer for Bermuda grass.
You
won't use it.
You go.
However, if you do, and same with soldier grass, if you do have fescue grass, yeah, winterizer will work just fine. Typically, a winterizer has some high phosphorus in it, a little bit of potassium.
Mm-hmm.
And it does help the stoloniferous growth in your plants. So, actually, you should have done that in August with your Bermuda grass. But mm-hmm. That's water under the bridge at this point. So, so if you haven't done that, don't worry about it. Bermuda grass has been around a long mm-hmm. time. It'll survive.
It will.
But if you do have fescue grass, do you want to encourage some growth at this point?
Mm-hmm.
And that is a good, well-balanced fertilizer, maybe a little bit of emphasis on the nitrogen,
mm-hmm.
and some sulfur and iron, too. It helps darken that color. Makes a real deep green, emerald green color. So
nice, rich, and pretty.
Time to do that. And sharpen the mower, by all means, because nothing looks worse than a bunch of raggedy old grass in there.
No.
So get the mower good and sharp. And some of the fescue grass is hard fescue, like the Kentucky 31.
Mm-hmm.
Is what we call a hard fescue, and if you got a dull blade, it looks a little shabby.
Looks like you beat it instead of cut it. Yeah.
So look under your mower and look at this bent up and gouged out and dull blade, and see if you can make it work. And it's important to balance that blade too. So.
Yeah.
So anyway, just use a moderate. Level of nitrogen on your fescue grass. It's not going to be growing a whole lot, but it's going to be growing enough to where it a little bit of Bermuda or a little bit of fertilizer will help it out.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell if it needs fertilizer by having all these green spots sort of close to the sidewalk and around the edge where the dogs, people walk their dogs.
Oh, yeah.
If you've got areas that are noticeably greener around there,
yeah.
Noticeably greener than the rest of the yard, you probably need some nitrogen.
There you go. Just saying. Right. We're going to take a quick time out here. We'll be back with more of the Green Country Gardener Program after this 2-minute timeout.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is getting busy and getting ready for the holidays. You'll find new shipments of pansies and flowering kale. Get ready for the holidays with amaryllis bulbs and Christmas cactus that they have available. And check out their new shipments of trees and shrubs. Right now is a great time to sow fescue seed and apply pre-emergent for winter weeds. Come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday.
Next on the Bargain Channel, top holiday gifts for the lefty in your life.
Like a shiny new metal straw.
Ow, my tooth.
How about a toasty AOC brand space heater?
I don't think so.
Goodness, that's a lot of hot air.
Order now. Supplies are limited.
Because the supply chain,
there is a delivery you can count on.
Better shop earlier.
Sean Hannity.
All this is preventable, and we can fix it all.
K1 AM 1400, FM 93.3, and now FM 95.1.
At a time when misinformation is all too common on social media, we take great pride in bringing you the news that matters, that impacts your family, news you can trust. Local broadcast journalists bring you the facts, covering the stories breaking in our community and across the globe. Text radio to 52886 and let Congress know you depend on local journalism. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Booster shots.
The data shows that the uninformed can significantly raise their informedness by getting the boost. The news boost.
Get your free jab of information weekday mornings at 6.
And mixing and matching the different types has been approved. So if you've got traffic, you can have weather. If you've got politics, you can have sports.
Get your jab of information here.
Give it to the kids, too. What's the worst that can happen? They're informed?
K1, the one you trust.
There you go. We took a little break from the Oompah music from Oktoberfest.
And Halloween, yeah.
Woo!
Tomorrow's Halloween. There'll probably be some kids out trick-or-treating tonight. I don't know what the schedule is on that.
The city will tell you we don't schedule holidays.
Oh, golly.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, with trick-or-treaters coming around, you want to make sure your yard is safe for them. Keep any rocks or anything that are stuck out in the yard. I'm going to pick them up. Pick up the garden hoses and the tricycles and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you don't have liability issues with the kids falling over their stuff. And, keep the place lit up and all that. So, and they actually put a new street light in front of my house.
Well, they did?
Fine. It took a while. But anyway, it's one of them new LED ones, and it's bright.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah.
Kind of feels like you're in the land of the midnight sun.
Exactly.
We got a call here. Good morning. You're on to the Green Country Gardener. Your comment or question for Larry.
Yes, good morning. Hey, Larry, was wondering, is there any kind of sod that can be put on the ground this late that would start growing? I had a grand dog move in, and I have a bare spot that I don't want to be muddy for this season.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Now,
I'll wait till spring.
What you can do is put down any kind of sod, say Bermuda grass or anything, and get you some annual rye. I don't know where you can get it, but and that'll come up in about 3 or 4 days, and it'll give you some green cover, and the Bermuda sod will act, you know, as a lattice, if you will, and a mat for the dog, and then the green grass will come up and be kind of green and pretty.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's because I'm going to lay the sod anyway this spring, so that'll work.
Yeah. Temporary patch, as they say.
Yeah, it'll give you some green grass and all that. Mm. But when it gets hot, the ryegrass will kind of fizzle out, and the Bermuda grass will be taken over.
And can we get that? Can I get that? Is it in seed form, and can we get that at your nursery?
We don't carry the annual rye. I really don't know where you can get it. I'll have to call around or something, see if I can find it. There might be some maybe at the feed store or something. They might have some, but anyway, that's a good solution is to put down your sod and annual rye will hold it in place.
That will work. Thank you, sir.
Have a great day.
All right. Thank you very much. There you go. And you can be next if you wish at 1-800-749-5936.
Anyway, burning bush is our shrub/small tree of the week, if you will. Burning bush can reach a height of 15 to 20 feet tall in its native habitat. Here in Oklahoma, you'll probably get 8 feet at the most. That's a standard. The compact burning bush would kind of do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Compact doesn't necessarily indicate dwarf. Mm-hmm. It means it just grows denser, more branching characteristics. So anyway, it's also called winged euonymus, and it's called winged euonymus because the stems have bark that sort of comes out in lateral wings, if
wings,
you will.
Wings, there you go.
Yeah. So anyway, it has a lot of branches. It's very dense and bushy. Many branch shrub. Its deciduous leaves grow to about 3 inches long, and are in opposing pairs. It's a compound leaf for euonymus. It is a compound leaf. It's kind of interesting too. Anyway, the beauty of this plant is the fall colors. Very good, and the reliability is very good. Its insect resistance is very good. And its growth rate, its tolerance of cutting back and butchering is very good, too. So, anyway, it is valued kind of for its fall color, which is a bright red color. Mm-hmm. And in a good climate, in other words, in a situation where it's not wet all the time,
mm-hmm.
or not windy, and not extremely cold, the leaf persists for a long period of time. So you get a lot of extended fall color on it. And I like to use this plant in three different instances. Mm-hmm. As a specimen plant. For instance, you can let it grow somewhat arborescent in shape, or as a hedgerow, it can grow very nicely, mm-hmm. or as a low-growing specimen, it can grow well also. So it's a very versatile shrub. Now, I have some growing over on the north side of the fence that they're about, I don't know, torso high. I mean, they're about 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
And every winter, after the leaves fall off, I get out those, I borrow Kevin 16-cylinder.
he actually lent it out to you?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh,
but I use my hedge clippers and cut it down to about a foot and a half, 1 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
And they grow throughout the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And recover from that. Look really nice. They stay small.
Mm-hmm.
I have one that I just let it grow. I didn't do a thing to it. Except maybe trim up some of the bottom stuff. It's kind of reminiscent of a Japanese maple in appearance. Mm-hmm. And it's really quite a nice specimen plant. And some also has a tall hedge in the back, too.
There you go.
So you can do a lot of things with these plants. And they're very carefree, very insect-free, very disease-free plants.
Well, I like that.
So, and they are deciduous.
Mm-hmm.
They also have little seeds on them the birds kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the disadvantage is that the birds tend to propagate them.
Understood.
So you get some little burning bushes in the yard too.
Hey.
Which can be dug up and moved and planted, and they're very easy to move and transplant. They have a very fibrous root system.
It's a gift that keeps on giving.
Exactly. They don't like drought.
No, not a big fan, huh?
No. So be prepared in dry times to give them some significant water to keep them inflated, if you will. Mm-hmm. So if they do suffer from drought, they do lack appearance in the fall. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure you don't let these get too dry. So keep the irrigation system going. They'll be really nice. Mm-hmm. So you can do anything with them. You can cut them back. I prefer the once-a-year cutback method where they just cut really low and they assume a certain height every year and do nothing to them otherwise.
And they come out just fine.
Pretty good plants.
Yes, indeed. We're going to have to take a break here, Larry. We're kind of pushing it up against the clock here a little bit. We'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
Back in the early 1930s, Frank and Jane Phillips hosted a wonderful party at their lodge home at Willow Rock. For this special party, Frank hired the world-famous magician Harry Blackstone to provide the entertainment for the large crowd. Throughout the evening, Blackstone amazed the guests with his card tricks and sleight of hand, with the crowd applauding and laughing as the tricks got better and better. Finally, Blackstone asked Jane Phillips to step forward. He reached into his coat and removed a new deck of cards and dramatically unwrapped them, removed the cards from the deck, and shuffled them several times. He then asked Mrs. Phillips to cut the cards, which she did, pulling the Queen of Spades, which she showed to the crowd. She put the card back into the deck, and Blackstone carefully shuffled the cards two or three times, then suddenly spun around and threw the entire deck of cards into the wall of the lodge, just to the left of the front door. 51 cards fell to the floor, and the Queen of Spades stuck on the wall, where it still remains today. A perfect example of the magic of Willow Rock. Come see it for yourself, and welcome home to Willow Rock.
Yankee legend Bernie Williams has a personal message to share.
Idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, or IPF, is the lung disease that affected my dad. If you're experiencing the symptoms of IPF, including breathlessness and a dry, persistent cough, it is important to see a pulmonologist. Visit breathlessipf.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Todd Starnes, host of the Todd Starnes Show. I hope you join me weekdays at 1 o'clock right here on K1, the one you trust, at AM 1400 and FM 93.3. Tune in for an honest conversation and, of course, my commentaries on the events of the world around us. Fresh, honest, and unafraid, it's the Todd Starnes Show with me, Todd Starnes. Weekdays at 1 on K1, the one you trust.
Oh, yes, and we're back with our Green Country Gardener program, and we've got a call here, Larry. Let's just go ahead and go with it. Hi, good morning. You're on the air. Your question, please.
Hi. I was wondering if you might Larry might know what has been eating my peppermint all summer.
Something been eating her peppermint.
Her peppermint. Most animals and insects are repelled by peppermint. So
the what?
Most insects are repelled by it. They don't like it. So
something's been eating every single leaf off of it all summer long, and I can't find it.
Well, I don't know for sure what that could be.
Wow. That's got her confused, too.
Yeah, I know, because animals don't like it. So because,
I thought you'd know.
It's probably an insect in the larval stage. So it's probably a worm of some kind gnawing on it.
Not that we don't have worms that do that. We had the worms that ate my grass and the worms that eat my trees and... Oh, my goodness.
Sounds like a time to go fishing, doesn't it? Anyway, what you want to do is look underneath the leaves.
If you got any left.
And another thing, you can look on the ground, and a lot of times worms leave a little bit of a mess. They don't know what a litter box is, so they leave kind of a mess. And that'll kind of tell you if it is. And also look at the bite radius and so on, and you can kind of tell what's going on just by the pattern, the patterns of the damage.
Hmm. Patterned. Okay. Well, just such tiny little leaves, and I wish they'd share.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you could apply some BT, Bacillus thuringiensis, and that will control insects in their larval stage like that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Oh, and I want to mention what I heard during an old Indian book, that night crawlers eat earthworms.
I thought
night crawlers are imported.
I thought night crawlers were earthworms.
Mm-mm.
They're different species.
Earthworms are the little skinny ones.
Oh, okay.
The night crawlers are the big fishing kind.
Ah. Okay, well, that's good to know.
All right, cool. Thank you.
Okay, well, I'll try that on my peppermint. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Got things eating their stuff.
That's no good. And most of the insects do the damage in the larval stage like that. So you have to kind of, you can control them by knowing what your pest is. Anyway, at the nursery gallery, we got all kinds of pansies, flowering kale and cabbage, all kinds of fall, winter color coming on. So come on and check it out. We got a few crepe myrtles and things here, and some Japanese maples and all that too, and some good old shrubs too. And, of course, plenty of different nandinas.
Oh, yes.
Not your grandmother's nandinas. But,
I want some nandinas. I'm not like that other fella who didn't want them.
If you have a problem with insects, you might want to plant them. They don't bother them too much. And Tom, it's good talking to you today, and we'll see you next week. Keep that shovel sharp.
Indeed. You've been listening to the Green Country Gardener Program, and right golly, we've got news coming up.
Are you getting married? Get the gift of life insurance. Call Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460.
This is KWON Bartlesville.